Hey everyone, John here. Just a quick word of warning. We will be spoiling this film in its entirety. So if you have not seen this film and you don't want it spoiled for you, just hit pause real quick and go and watch the movie and then come back and enjoy the show.
Open up, Rambo. There you go.
Here in my bedroom. I'm wearing sleepy shorts.
Try not to talk, Shortcake. I know that's hard for you.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Surviving Chick Flicks. I'm John.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Joseph.
And I'm grossly underprepared this week, which is sad because I watched the movie twice. But this week, we're back to literal chick flicks, even though, you know. Hey Sammy, I got an idea. We haven't done this in a while. Why don't we tell them what the rules of a chick flick are before we get into this?
All right.
Because it's not what some people think. Imagine you're a new listener and this was the episode you picked. First of all, cool. Do you remember the bullshit rules I made up?
Yeah, okay. So basically, a chick flick is any film written or directed by a woman, any film starring a female lead, or...
female lead.
Yeah, and strong female lead. And any film that panders to women.
I'd say we have the hat trick here because the script came from a woman, the novel came from a woman, this has a strong female lead, and I don't believe this movie was pandering to men. So, there's no explosions. But this week we are talking about the Hulu original, a phrase I don't believe we've said on this show yet, but the Hulu original, The Hating Game, or as we call it, us trying to pick the movie every week. Sammy is obviously muted because she would have laughed at the hilarious, hilarious joke I made.
Whatever you say.
All right, so why don't we play the trailer and then we get into Sammy telling us what this movie's about and why we watched it. See, if I call her out on the show, she has to do it.
Not true, and I hate you.
I should leave that in.
I'm trapped here, day after endless day, with my one maniacal nemesis.
Four complaints this week. Four.
This is the period. When you take a period and put it...
put that donut hole away or I'm gonna shove it up your...
You two are the worst part of my job.
We're gonna be hiring a managing director. We'll oversee each department.
The job is mine, Shortcake.
If you get the job, I'll resign, just like you will if I do.
Ah, but I'm incapable of giving you that pleasure.
Well, it's not the first time you've said that to a woman, is it?
Are you and he, like, there's a vibe there?
No.
I hate him with a passion.
Son of a bitch.
Wowzers, what's the occasion?
Psychological warfare.
I wonder what it's like to use raw animal magnetism as a weapon.
I had some weird dreams last night. I was in bed, naked.
I have a theory.
What are we doing? This game that we play every day.
Hating someone feels disturbingly like falling in love with them.
Let's play a different game. A starting over game.
Why?
I don't want to be some experiment before you settle down.
We are competing for the same job. It is impossible to trust each other.
I'm in this. And you can trust that.
I told you she'd back off if you let her think that she could pet the pony.
I don't need any help beating her.
You would just do whatever it takes to win.
Whatever this is, I don't want to do it anymore.
I thought you hated me.
Yep. So, what game should we play now?
Lucy, when you first met Josh, what did you think?
I thought he was cold and freakishly uptight.
I thought Lucy was a spineless kiss ass.
It was hate at first sight.
The Hating Game, starring Lucy Hale, Austin Stoll, Damon Duano? Dono? However the hell you say that. Sakina Jaffrey, Corbin Burnson, Yasha Jackson, based on the novel by Sally Thorne, and directed by Peter Hutchings. So, two of us are going to have a very similar answer, and one of us is going to have a slightly different one. But Sammy, Joseph, when was the first time you watched this movie?
Do you know, Sammy?
Okay. So the first time I watched this movie, I actually have a memory of it. It was New Year's Eve this past year. I've just gotten back from a wedding. Everybody else in the house was asleep because they were lame. And, of course, I had to stay up till midnight, so I ran across this movie, decided to watch it, and that's all she wrote.
This is how you rang in the New Year?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I was at least drunk.
Yeah, I was in a dry county for a wedding that did not serve alcohol.
We're in a damp county, and I stumbled my happy ass home. Sending my usual Happy New Year's text in a language.
But all things considered, it wasn't a bad way to ring in the New Year.
Yeah. So, Joseph, when did we watch this movie? Because we watched it together.
What is it? Roughly 24 hours ago?
We had the Sammy answer this week.
Because we actually all three watched this in the same room. Yeah.
And what was funny?
And no one was hurt.
Well, let's wait till the end of the show and find out.
Yeah, there was some bloodletting, but that may or may not have been related. But whenever you pulled, whenever you suggested this movie, like Joseph and I had never even heard of this movie. My knowledge of this movie does not go past a week.
Yeah, it's not like it was a big release. I mean, I'm not surprised y'all hadn't heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I know now that Disney owns what used to be 20th Century Fox, now 20th Century Studios. Hulu releases are starting to become kind of a big deal because that's where Disney is slowly dumping all the shit that Fox shot before the merger. But there's so many
from the FX network now too.
Yeah. And there's so many of them. I'm like, when did this come out? When is this Ben Affleck movie? What's going on here? I've become Grandpa Simpson every time I get on Hulu. What is this? Where did it come from? Why? That being said, one of those, Fox unloads, was the, gay version of Pride and Prejudice called Fire Island that I watched last month, or to try to both boost my 2022 movie numbers and my Pride Month movie numbers, which I believe is about that movie plus the four we watched.
Yeah.
I did good. So, Sammy, you want to hit him with a brief plot synopsis of this?
If I must.
Yeah, give the pitch to the audience that you gave to me.
On this episode of John Was Unprepared.
Which is every episode.
So, basically, the film is about Lucy and Josh. Lucy worked for a publishing company that was bought out by another publishing company. That publish very different types of books, have very different philosophies, and therefore employ very different kinds of people with very different agendas. And how many times can I fit different into this synopsis? So basically,
just do it differently every time.
Her and Josh have not gotten along since they started working together, which has led to a lot of tension and a lot of HR complaints.
We're going to come back to those.
So basically, everyone kind of thinks that there's this sexual tension between them, which there is, but they just think that they hate each other. Until Lucy has a sex dream about Josh that prompts her to try and engage in a little psychological warfare and bother him as much as he bothers her. So she starts fake dating one of her coworkers. And basically, through this process, Josh is kind of makes his first move. Him and Lucy sort of go back and forth. And he ends up inviting her to his family's, or she invites herself to be his plus one to his brother's wedding. They get even closer. But this entire time, they're competing for a promotion at their job. And it makes things even more complex, in addition to the fact that they don't trust each other. And that's kind of it. But they do end up kind of coming to a resolution. He quits and goes to work for another company, and Lucy gets a promotion.
Okay, so the two different heads of the two vastly different publishing companies, what were the books that Corbin Burnson, who plays the sleazy, slimy, macho...
misogynistic asshole?
Yeah. Translation, pretty much every character Corbin Burnson's played.
Yeah, you got a point.
The way the movie, to me, I could be wrong, but the way the movie it made it seem to me is that Corbin Burnson's side of the company wanted to publish very horny books.
Yes.
That is the only way I can describe them.
Basically, the way she described it initially is that they published a lot of, like, sports biographies.
So, if that's all they publish is sports biographies, why is this woman about, like, this, I guess, adventurer or type book got, like, strippers on the cover that doesn't seem like a sports bio?
I think that was just basically having to do with the fact that that was a Gammon book, and it was about an archaeologist, but since it was called Stripping Time, of course, Bexley, the CEO of the other book company, took it literally and put a stripper on the cover.
You know, as normal people do.
Yeah. I know, personally, whenever I am shopping for books, the first thing I look for on the cover is titties. So,
you know, you're not right in the head if you don't.
Right. That's also why I'm banned from every Barnes & Noble in the tri-state area. That's beyond the point.
What did y'all think of the two leads? I'm going to ask this specifically to Sammy, because I kind of know the answer, so I just want to hear it. Let the audience to hear.
I liked them generally. I like Lucy Hale. I like stuff that I've seen her in before. So generally speaking, I thought they did a good job. It was a pretty well put together script for what the film was. She did a pretty good job. I say their chemistry was better than average. Is it the best chemistry I've ever seen? Not by a long shot. But was it pretty good chemistry, better than passable? And enough that not only did it not take away from the film, I would say it added a little. So, you know, they did pretty well.
I kind of agree with that. Like, I wasn't sure I was going to like either one of them. But whenever you first get introduced to them, I was like, oh, they're probably both going to be insufferable. But the more you get into it, you know, you start to warm up to her character. And you think, okay, well, I'm probably just going to hate this guy. He's going to be probably a complete douchebag the whole time. And really, he starts out that way, but he kind of isn't. You understand why he is the way he is. I think they do a pretty decent job of showing you why he is the way he is.
I thought they were fine.
You thought they were fine? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I guess I just like dissected it a little bit more than I thought I was going to.
Well, and here's the thing. They're the leads in a rom-com, a direct-to-streaming rom-com. So I wasn't expecting greatness. I did think that they worked well together, and I know this is not the first time they worked together because they also, I know Sammy said she likes Lucy Hale and other things she's seen. Unfortunately, I can't say the same because the only other thing I've seen her in, as far as I know, was that fucking Truth or Dare movie that Blumhouse put out. And poor thing, she and the lead, Austin Sal, were also together in the Fantasy Island movie that no one likes. Which pissed me off because I wanted to do a Fantasy Island movie. Just not that.
Yeah, I heard it was really bad, so I stayed away from it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't anything spectacular, but they did what they needed to do for the film. And like I said, their chemistry was nothing to write home about, but it wasn't terrible.
No, it their chemistry worked. I thought it was deep. Like you said, again, you're right. It's not fantastic, but it was like, when I was first watching, it was like, they're probably going to have terrible chemistry. They're probably going to hate, but I ended up not hating them. So I was impressed.
I will say this about their chemistry. During the sex scene, you believe that the male has had sex with a human before and wasn't trying to fuck the belly button. So it was better than The Room.
That's not saying a whole lot.
I know how human makes.
That's terrible.
That's not a very high bar at all. All you have to do is act like you know what you're doing and you pass.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm single.
Yeah, no. I mean, I felt like they did a pretty good job, I guess, selecting, like, the chemistry matched the moment, if that makes any sense. Like, they had a good sense of, like, an awkward chemistry and, like, a little bit of an I hate you. Which works, because that's what the characters are going through. And then, with Danny, she had a distinct lack of chemistry. Yeah. And it was very, like, they worked really well together.
They did, even though with poor Danny, whenever they first started, you know, their little relationship in the movie, I was like, oh, I ship Lucy and Danny. And then he kept talking, and it's just like, oh, you poor bastard.
Danny shut up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, the moment whenever he's rambling about some sci-fi novel to her and she just delays getting on the elevator with him. I believe I just was screaming, just stop talking.
Yeah, you know, when he said he was in the friend zone, I was like, that's the most honest assessment of yourself ever.
When you relate to a character and you're not happy about it. Do you want to hear about the history of Wax Trax Records? Then come date John. Otherwise.
Well, it's kind of like, well, if you want to hear about X-Men the whole time, I can tell you all about it. You just may not hear it.
But, I mean, it was kind of interesting because they sort of created this whole... Like, a lot of the film took place in the office, and they sort of created this whole culture, and I kind of found it interesting that they sort of took this, like, Bexley's and her and Lucy's boss's relationship was a very similar thing, except for minus the sexual tension.
Yeah. They really hated each other.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the question that it left me with, like, obviously the movie focuses mostly on the two main characters, but I think that they did a pretty good job with the side characters, enough to have left me of the question, especially since she addresses at the end of the movie. Bexley definitely has multiple sexual harassment allegations against him.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about the whole HR subplot. Because at the beginning of the movie, the two of them get on the elevator with the HR lady, and she's just like, we had four complaints from you today, three from one incident. Which means if they're fighting in the office, someone would have asked one or both of them to leave.
Yeah.
Which means these characters are made of some sort of Teflon that makes them unfireable.
Or yeah, they and I think that's one. They both do their boss's job. Like, even Lisa's boss references it. She says, you do the part of my job, the parts of my job that I hate doing, which is a big part of the reason she hadn't promoted her, which happens, you know, which happens a lot.
It does.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you proved to be too valuable in this one area. You fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up that part. No.
What was going on with both her and Josh?
I do believe that Lucy's boss was probably good at her job, but she is all vision and does not, is probably not good at the business part of it, which unfortunately is a reality. Whereas Bexley, Corbin Burnson, I don't know what he does other than just sit in his office, yell and hate women.
That's his character, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Josh.
Yeah. And you know, it's not far off from reality on a lot of places.
Well, to be fair, none of us know the world of publishing, so it well, might be a little.
It might be a little off. I don't know.
but there are, you know, industries for that are like this. So.
Oh yeah, you always seem to have that incompetent idiot that just seems to somehow keep going up the ladder for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I did like about this is sometimes that unlikable idiot does have a degree of charm to it. And Corbin Burnson just is great at playing characters that make me think, God, I wish you were hit by a brick right now.
Yes, he's really good at playing those.
Yeah. And he may be a nice guy in real life. I know nothing about the man other than he was on TV. He was in the Major League movies. He directed that Christian Mingle movie, and he was in this.
I remember him as the serial killer dentist. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
That's mainly my memory of him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the other guys on L.A. Law was Dr. Giggles.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He played a character that would not fly in 2022, but in the 1980s, he was lovable.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
That's very true.
Okay, so what did y'all think of the first kiss? Did y'all think it was too soon? Did it catch you off? Like, did it catch you off guard?
I mean, it caught me off guard in the way that, like, you don't expect that to really happening in the first act.
Yeah, like, I wasn't expecting it in the first act. I was expecting, like, maybe a little later on, but I was like, oh, okay, we're going there now. Okay.
Yeah. This is act shit.
This movie did take some turns I was not expecting, but there are also things we were seeing
this movie. So, like, I mean, it threw me off guard a little that it was that early in the film, because it felt like kind of a second act kind of thing more. But while this movie is very predictable in places, I couldn't have told you all the plot points that went along with it. Things like, and it kind of did things in a non-predictable, like, in kind of a refreshingly different way. Like, you have a love triangle, essentially, between Lucy and Josh and Lucy and Danny. And Danny's just like, yeah, I kind of saw this not working out, and, like, didn't make a big deal about it. Whereas other movies, that would have been, like, the whole movie.
It would have been.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that fact that it didn't try to make it a love triangle between him and her, and, mm-hmm. and all the two guys and her.
Yeah.
Because that's been done to death. And I was like, oh, is that where it's going? Mm-hmm. But it didn't. And I was kind of happy with that.
Yeah. Because I was even painting scenarios in my head where she ended up with Danny, and then Danny just kept talking. I'm like, oh, you're forever alone.
That's terrible. No, I mean, most people love a love triangle. I mean, they do it so much because it works. But in this case, I like the way they did it because it was a little bit more realistic, which was she was basically just trying to be with a nice guy. Like, she was trying to be with someone that wasn't like Josh, because she convinced herself that she hated Josh.
Yeah. And to be fair, Josh didn't do himself any favors, because when we first meet him, he is a dick.
Yeah, he is a huge dick.
I wouldn't say huge. I'm just saying they did not get off on the right foot, because he basically was just very cold to her and didn't, you know, basically didn't want to acknowledge her and then they were forced to kind of just be stuck together. There are times when it is questionable of whether or not, you know, like, when did he start respecting her? Because even whenever they hate each other, it's revealed that he, like, is kind of in love with her and has respect for her. He just never shows it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, when you actually find out more about his past and everything, it's like, okay, they did a pretty decent job of, like, setting up why he kind of acts the way he does. Because when he said the line of, all my life I've heard, I'm the guy that you have a one-night stand with, not really a relationship. That, I can understand why he would be that way, especially towards somebody he might be attracted to. It's just one of those, like, because he's like, well, it's probably going to end the same way where she doesn't really want a relationship with me. She just wants to have sex with me and just like, okay, well, that was fun.
Yeah. So, this where we're supposed to feel really bad for the pretty people? Like, oh, no, you've been stereotyped that women just want to sleep with you. Oh, no, you poor thing.
Well, in this
context, well, it's trying to make them human.
Yeah, in this context, because he does actually like this woman for who she is. It's not just like I'm horny, I want to do you, so therefore I like you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he gets painted with that brush for no apparent reason.
Just because he is a good-looking guy.
Is this the unfair stereotype?
It kind of.
He doesn't really know. Like, think about it. They, for all the times in this movie, they build on that trope of like, hey, I noticed all the little things about you and I'm going to list them. And that's how you know I'm in love with you, because I've noticed all the little things. They don't actually know that much about each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one of those weird rush. I think they just did it just because it's required in these type of movies, you know?
Right. I mean, they haven't, which I mean, it's not wrong. Like the stuff that they mentioned about each other, you know, it's stuff that you would notice if you were interested in someone. Some parts are unrealistic, but they haven't hung out socially.
Yeah.
So he's not going to know other things about her.
Mm-hmm. And I think that because, you know, they haven't taken the time to get to know each other. And in her defense, she did try on day one to, you know, introduce herself and get to know him. But, you know, he kind of rejected that. And I had a point, and I lost it, as I thought, and now I'm stuck.
Well, I see he rejected it, but again, whenever they reveal some of the stuff, especially with his family and his, I thought that was not too badly done. I thought that was pretty good how he is.
Yeah,
he doesn't let people in very easily, and he's kind of cold and just kind of. Because even he doesn't have a great relationship with his brother, which, and again, you find out there's more to that than just how women treat him. Is because you know, his girl left him for him.
Yeah. Well, and also at work, I do feel like he is a very businessy business type businessman. So, you know, he's one of those people that like is sending email replies at 8:01 a.m. and you're just like, really?
Right.
Like, dude, no.
But yeah, we never really. I think this all started with me trying to address the HR stuff. In that first time they're in the elevator, the four complaints and the whole conversation where they refer to each other as mommy and daddy.
Yeah, that was kind of a
weird. Yeah. But it does feel, I do really feel like if they were causing that much of a disturbance, HR would have been like recommended their termination long ago, no matter what they did for their bosses.
So kind of like the catalyst to all of this was, and I don't know what y'all think about this, but to me, this was like the weirdest start to a relationship. Was when they went paintballing for their team building exercise and she has the flu or something. And so he ends up taking care of her after she pukes all over him. And that kind of just starts there, and he ends up cleaning her whole apartment. And that just kind of like, I guess it's the first time that you see the like softer side of him.
Softer side, yeah. But the real first interaction is in the elevator whenever he gets stuck. And, you know, he kisses her. You know, right after the conversation about, you know, her asking, when she asked, do I just tell men I'm not wearing any panties, do men like that? And the audience went, yes.
And I say all that to say, to me, it kind of begs the question, what's y'all's opinion? Is this miscommunication his fault or hers?
I'm going to start off and blame him. And the reason is, she made an effort on day one. I know I've said that 18 times already now on the show, but she tried on day one. So I'd say the, you know, assumption on everything started, the reason to start, it is his fault.
Where's the
and
funny
periods and semicolons? I mean, that's fair. Well, it's not fun whenever you're in HR.
Well, true.
A lot of this miscommunication came from his side of things. Like, I should say this. I feel like he started the miscommunication, but she blew it way out of proportion. That's
yeah.
Because, I mean, at some point it became quite clear he had feelings for her because he decided mm-hmm. to open up and take the leap, and she just couldn't trust him.
Yeah. But, and also, you know, he screwed up by, you know, blowing her off, but at the same time, he probably was feeling maybe a little bad that, you know, him coming in and finding a way to save the company money resulted in, like, everyone she worked with, for the most part, getting fired. So I can understand him probably not wanting to warm up after he fired all of her friends.
Yeah, that tends to rub you the wrong way.
Yeah. Unless, you know, he really did come in as an emotionless cyborg. And over time, she warmed his heart with her weird Smurf fixation and the creation of Smurf fan fiction, which does mean that there is Smurf erotic fan fiction online. And Joseph, I'm going to only Google that on your phone.
Do you have to?
Yeah. Because I have to know, but I don't want my own Google history search, sullied. So they've been on one date. I've been on lots of one dates.
I can understand if they were in a relationship. Yeah, that I think it'd be worse if they were actually like a steady boyfriend.
Dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just like, we went on one date, you know. I think it made it a little bit better. I was like, yeah, it's a little fucked up. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, that was not cool.
Yeah, just for two people that are supposed to hate each other, I don't know. It just seems to me like it would have raised some red flags because Danny's her friend. He's not friends with Josh. And yet Josh just kind of takes over.
Normal kind of rom-com type trope type thing.
Well, and to be fair, that entire office, it was just like, the office pool is, are they going to sleep together or kill each other or both? Those are the three options on the table.
Yeah, there probably was a pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a bad pool to go into because you got a good chance.
The wedding,
I actually kind of enjoyed the wedding part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was
the nice part. I feel like all the moments when Lucy and Josh are together and Josh is letting down his guard a little bit, those are all like really nice moments. But at the same time, one problem I do have with this movie is that I feel like, I know are they trying to keep the relationships secret because their feelings for each other feel like they should they kind of swing back and forth weirdly.
I really don't know what they were trying to do on that. What?
Yeah.
What do you?
Well, I mean, like they were sleeping together at the wedding, and the mom his mom even sees that. She says to her that he talks about her all the time, says she drives her crazy, but, you know, she's never seen him look at anyone the way he looks at her. it's like they are almost having the conversation of, you know, when we go back to work on Monday, we have to go back to pretending to hate each other.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really see that part, to be honest.
I don't know so much that they're hiding it. It's just this issue of the job, I think, is just like this added complication. Yeah. So there's that. But I will say, I actually shockingly agree with you, but it leads me to a question. So one of their like best moments, I thought, is after they sleep together, they're sitting in the hotel room together and they're having that conversation. And she admits to having snooped at his desk, and she asks him what all the little marks and letters were in his like planner notebook.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What y'all thought it was? Like, what were you thinking it was?
I wasn't even thinking about it, to be honest.
Honestly, I thought it was like something like, it was going to be something about, like, I don't know, something he noticed that she did, so stuff that he could use against her, just he wrote it in code to get the job, because that was at the very first of the movie, and they really both wanted the job, and...
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what she was thinking.
Well, yeah, she probably was.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, she panicked because he saw her, you know, presentation that she was wanting to prepare, and I think she thought he was going to use that against her. And I'm guessing, you know, in the end, since we know how this movie ends, he was using it to say, yeah, she's the right person for the job. I'm going to say creepy, but we also like the guy, so it's creepy in a charming way.
Yeah, like, if it was, like, Danny, it'd be like, oh, dude, what the fuck are you doing? No, you don't do that.
Which leads to the other question, and we can basically ask, if Danny did it, would it have been creepy? After the wedding, when they get back to his apartment, and he's trying to prove a point, so he shows her her dress up against his bedroom wall, which is painted a very specific color of green. Is it creepy he painted the wall?
I'm just gonna be honest. It is creepy and like two steps removed from, I need to measure you to make my people suit.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but and also this is the unfair thing about, you know, creepy or romantic, and the thing that hits the nail on the head why we do this on occasion. It's like, had it been Danny, we would have been like, oh, he's a serial killer, you need to run. But because, you know, Josh is hot, it's like, okay, this weird serial killer activity is charming.
It is one of those things with a lot more things that are hot. I will never know that.
Yeah. So the very convenient conversation that she overhears at the end, where Bexley calls her a nitwit and a push-up bra. How did he not understand that his own words were being used against him?
No, that went straight over his head.
Yeah.
No, that character was not smart enough to understand. Oh, she's talking shit about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just like, all right.
Hey, I was thinking that. I think he was saying, hey, she read my mind. Yeah. I do like the whole whatever her, because you see how much of a dick her dad is, his dad is.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked her telling him off. I thought that was a really good part, too, in the wedding.
Yeah. So who's the most hateable character in the movie, Bexley or his dad?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm not really sure, really. They're both pretty terrible, but I think you see the boss more, so I'm going to say him. And that's just by a small margin.
Yeah.
I don't know, Sammy, what do you think?
I definitely think it's the boss. I mean, don't get me wrong, his dad is an absolute prick and a terrible father to boot. But he at least he understood it when he was being insulted.
Yep, that's true. Yeah. He had a little bit of smart.
I kind of like, even though I hate the movies when the couple has the falling out over the minor miscommunication, even though they do have the explanation at the end of why Josh was doing what he was doing, but they, I do like the fire lit under her ass whenever she found her spine and would tell that one lady who she ended up always doing her work for her to actually do her job and,
you know, quit putting it on me. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. I will say that the one thing I liked about this film is it really kind of leaned into this whole idea of they were part of what made them a good match is they balanced each other, but they also challenged each other and made each other better at their jobs.
All right. At this point, you guys want to step into segment section?
Sure. Okay, since we're ready to move into our segments, I guess we'll start with our first and possibly favorite. Did John like the soundtrack?
Oh, is this our favorite segment now? I like that. I like the soundtrack, but I don't know if I'd listen to it on its own. I do like that it dusted off Dollar Store Amy Winehouse's one song that everyone knows to open up the movie, Mercy by Duffy. Who I believe I had to explain to everyone in the room who that was. the rest of it was, you know, nothing screamed to me, you know, oh, make a playlist of this. I need to spot Soundhound this later so I know what songs to put in the playlist. Although the full soundtrack is on Spotify. As a whole, it was fine. So, yeah, I give it a pass.
That's the only thing I remember.
Joseph, what were you going to say?
Oh, I thought you heard me. I said all I could remember was the first song. After that, I don't remember what any of the other songs.
Yeah. You remember the one song you probably heard in 8,000 commercials?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a good one. All of a sudden, I was like, I don't remember what song it was.
Yeah, it was a pretty
you can tell,
possible soundtrack.
Yeah, you can tell they blew their music load, their music budget load early because it's like, here's the one song we know, and then the rest of, the soundtrack scraping together bands, cool.
All right, so Joseph, do you have the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I do, and this was a very interesting score. I'm not sure if y'all are going to get this one or not.
Whew.
when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay. No, not too bad.
That would suggest to me that it's higher than anticipated for a romantic comedy, which are pretty low. So I'm going to go with like a 66.
Okay.
Rom-coms are always hit and miss with critics.
They really are.
Like whenever they're, you know, incredibly cliche, they tend to have low critical scores. And whenever they buck the trend on occasion, they have higher scores. All that to be said, I think Sammy's head's in the right place for the critical score, but I'm going to aim a little higher, and I'm going to go with a 71.
All right, well, John was almost on the mark. It's a 70% with 20 reviews in.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, well, it's not a lot of reviews, but still, that's a pretty good score for 20 reviews. I was not expecting that. I was expecting like maybe 50%, because that seems about right for this type of movie. Usually, whenever you see something like that, because like I said, it's not a terrible movie. It's just one of those like you just don't know how it's going to be gauged by everybody.
Yeah.
So, what do you think the audience score is? And mind you, the audience score is a little bit more people than quite a bit more people than the critic score.
I'm going to go with like a 77.
Okay.
I'm going to go with seem of two minds. Part of me wants to think since the critical score was kind of high, part of me thinks audience score could be really low. But then again, this is a rom-com, so I'm thinking higher. I'm going to go with like an 82.
All right. Well, actually, it is only 1% lower. It's at a 69%.
Oh, wow. So the critics liked it better than the audience.
By 1%. And it's just like, you know, this was not what I expected to see on Rotten Tomatoes. I like it whenever, because usually you can kind of gauge what the movie's going to be like on Rotten Tomatoes for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is kind of a unique score.
It was a unique one. I was like, okay, well, hey, you know, that wasn't, that's not too bad, actually.
You might say it was nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. It's a very good sweet spot for that movie.
Just ignore the joke. obviously, we have no Roger Ebert review or Gene Siskel review, and no Armin White review. So,
yeah, I have no idea how Armin White would have reviewed this one.
I don't know. I mean, he is a wild card. So
he is.
Because, you know, he doesn't wake up, well, he does probably wake up every morning thinking, yeah, I should hate everything, but, I mean, he wrote a book on Prince, so I'm probably assuming he's the only critic that, like, Under the Cherry Moon, so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. And Prince fans, if I offended you, please defend that movie. I dare you. All right, so move forward into Bechdel test.
All right, so, we kind of discussed the Bechdel test in pre-show, but basically, it barely passes. Lucy and her boss, who are both named characters, do have a conversation, probably more than one, that does not exactly revolve around them, but more the career and the business. So, you know, it passes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she does have a conversation with her mom. Not about men, but at the same time, I don't believe the mom ever got a character name or an appearance on screen. So she might as well not exist.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move into it. I think we have several. Best line, worst line. So John Joseph, do you have best lines, worst lines?
I do, and I wish I committed them to memory. So... and IMDb has absolutely no quotes, so I had nothing. I had nothing in my fallback thing to look up. I do love the speech she gives whenever she's telling off Josh's dad at the wedding.
Yeah, that was good. What was it? I did like, although it was not realistic at all, what their fight with the HR knows about. I thought their whole fight where they're arguing over punctuation with donuts. I thought that was pretty funny. the whole delivery of that was pretty good.
Well, and I like the mommy and daddy conversation in the it was like, mommy forgets to CC daddy on all of her emails.
My also, favorite at the same was time, when
I hated
the,
him for that moment.
Oh, I was going to say, that led to one of my favorite lines from the HR lady where she goes, you guys are the worst part of my job.
Yeah. I was trying to think.
I liked whenever the brother was there, the doctor brother checking her out, and she was asking for all of the dirt on him. And whenever he tells the story about wearing a dog costume and making his mom walk him around the neighborhood, and he tries to defend it by saying, "I was a child," and the brother was like, "You were 12." Oh, Josh, that's too old. Just the way she delivered that line.
That was pretty good.
Oh, also, when she gets mad at him the next morning, she's like, you better not use any of this against me. And he goes, yeah, because knowing the consistency of your vomit, it's really going to give me a competitive edge.
Yeah.
Oh, because we did mention it earlier. I did like the line of, she's like, should I tell him I'm not wearing any panties? Does he like that? Because I remember us watching it go, oh, yes, yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really only have one more slide. I mean, pretty much anything. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, when she finally tells off that lady to do her job, when she grows the backbone in that moment, I'm like, yeah. And I love that even though she was telling her absolutely not to taking on her boyfriend's niece as an intern, as we see later, she did still. Oh, very early on, whenever she bakes the cupcakes, and the one employee was just like, you remember my birthday? And you just, that moment of panic, yeah, you're our little birthday turkey.
Yeah, and then, so, okay, I think, I didn't have, like, a lot of worse lines, but I do think the one that kind of stuck out to me is when she goes into Danny's office, and she's like, I should wear a bell, and he said, yeah, like a cow. Nope, not like a cow.
Do you have any, John? I'm trying to think of any worse lines.
I know you hated the very last line of the movie.
What was the very last line of the movie? I've slept since then. I'm trying to remember
something what about. I think it was. I only want you fighting with me.
Oh yeah, yes. I don't want you to fight anyone but me.
Yeah, I did not like that line. I thought that was bad. And I understand the territory we're in, but still, I was just like, no, we could have done better.
I just remember you said that out loud, and Sammy just goes, "Aw."
I was like, "I'm sorry, that was just bad."
I don't know if I had any that were like egregiously bad. There were moments, and most of them came from Danny, where I was just like, "Please stop talking." I don't know, that was the point of the character as well.
Oh yeah, it was, but it still was one of those. It was very cringy.
Alrighty, well, I guess we can move into our final segments. Do y'all have anything for the good, bad, and the ugly? And if for those of you, since we went ahead and did say, you know, for those new listeners, basically the good, bad, and the ugly are anything we liked about this movie we haven't already talked about, and anything we disliked about the movie we haven't already talked about.
I liked the moment whenever Josh at one point tells her to kiss Danny and see if his kiss, if she felt more for his kiss than the one that, you know, he had given her. And she comes back to his apartment at night and just rounds the corner like, thinks he's home? Think he's home?
I forgot that part.
Yeah, we did touch on it, but the whole wedding sequence. Oh, and that the guy that works the counter at the hotel or the lodge or whatever, wherever the wedding was, Jaffrey, or but you, you know, my friends call me Jaff. We're not there yet.
I forgot he did
that guy.
I really liked. What was it? The one of the lines I really
liked, and he reminded me.
Was it, he said, he's like, yeah, that is definitely not worth ruining my day.
Oh, yeah. I asked y'all last night, and I seriously doubt y'all Googled him in the time since we watched the movie together, but for the audience, if you know who Brett Gelman is, the character reminded me so much of him. Like, it was a character he would have played. Did anyone watch Fleabag? Because he was the brother-in-law in Fleabag.
I never did, but I've always wanted to watch it. I just never have.
Okay. Did anyone watch that Matthew Perry sitcom Go On? Because he was in that show as well.
I have not.
Nope.
Well, he's been in things. I swear. I swear he's a real boy. I didn't make him up. But he's a comedian that does awkward characters very well. So he just kind of reminded me of Dollar Store Brett Gelman, that guy.
Yeah, but I thought that his was good. I forgot how much I did like that part.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's only in it for like maybe a couple minutes.
As for anything I didn't like, I mean, I'm not going to nitpick a rom-com for the cliches. Me, who has seen Friday the 13th movie, so owner of three sleepaway camp movies, I'm not going to pick something apart for cliches alone this time. So I don't have anything that egregiously annoyed me. I feel like anything that did annoy me was almost by design. Like, this is supposed to.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I don't really have anything I disliked. I mean, it was a very pretty standard, unoffensive romantic comedy.
Yeah, like, I'm not sitting here saying that this movie is flawless, but at the same time, anything I would take points off is enough to royally piss me off. So,
yeah, it's kind of standard fare. It was nothing that, like, they didn't do anything egregiously awful or anything. It was just kind of what you expect from a movie like this.
Yeah.
A couple of cringy lines, but that's about it.
The This is me as Lucy's getting tricked.
What'd you say, John?
I said there was one moment of Sammy saying, "This is me as Lucy is decorating her tree for Christmas."
Oh yeah, and I 100% agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true too. And, yeah. I don't want to say that was something that sucked. I just want to say that was an observation that was made during the watching of the person who said, "This is me." So. Is it time to ask the big question?
It is.
All right. Just for consistency, Sammy, Joseph, did you survive the hating game? Jesus.
Everybody knows my answer, so why don't y'all go first?
Okay. Do you want me to go first, John?
Yeah, I usually go last.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I survived this. Like I said, I had no idea what to get into whenever you suggested that. I've never heard of this movie. Don't even know what it's even possibly about. I have a feeling it has to do with dating at some point. Wasn't quite sure, though. But after watching it, I was like, yeah, it's not bad at all. It's not one I definitely would have watched on my own. But I definitely didn't hate it. I kind of enjoyed a good portion of it. It was just one of those. Would I watch it again? Probably not. But like I said, it was fun to watch, especially with all three of us in the room. I thought it was really fun for us all to watch it.
Sammy?
All right, I agree. Obviously, I survived. It was my choice. This is like my version of John and Joseph's dumb horror movie. These are usually going to be a win with me. It's hard to miss. And this one did a really good job. It was a solid job. I really liked it. You know, even though they used the traditional tropes, I thought they used them in a really good and effective way. And yeah, so I survived.
So, yeah, I survived this movie as well. So it's 3-for-3. I actually found myself really enjoying this movie, and I don't know if it was because I was watching it with y'all or it was the movie itself, but even on the rewatch today, this movie has, even though it's full of cliches, it has a charm to it, and, you know, all the things y'all have already said. Plus, I think I would revisit this one on my own. Now that I've seen it, and I know it's, you know, an entertaining this, not for a while, but if someone wanted to watch it and I was in the room, I would not be, you know, screaming in pain. So does anybody have anything they want to? Oh, what
I said, there's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, put that on the poster. I won't scream in pain while we're watching this. I think I liked it a little bit better than my opinion sounded, but I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd, so it's just 1 star worse than Sleepaway Camp.
That's a big honor, to be honest.
Well, and to be honest, it was better than a 3.5, but you know, because 3.5 is my, I like this, but I acknowledge that you needed to redo some things. You know, 3.5 stars is the Entourage movie. But next week, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil, is one of my favorite films of 2022. And it happens to be titled of Sammy's Opinion of Me at Times. So we're doing next week the 2022 film, The Worst Person in the World. That should have gotten at least a pity chuckle.
Sorry.
I was laughing on the inside.
Whereas on the outside, you were like, oh, fuck, he knows. But this film was up for, this film actually had some Oscar attention on the, you know, the infamous most recent Oscars. So I have very strong opinions about it and a 2021 film that also was up for some of the same awards. So, but I'll save those for next week. Until then, does anybody have anything you want to, shout out?
Nothing I can think of, to be honest.
Sammy?
No, I don't have anything. Not this week.
I saw Elvis It was fine. I'll just keep it short. Because I could go on the long-winded diatribe about my love of Baz Luhrmann and my love of Elvis Presley before seeing this movie, but I enjoyed the movie for what it was, and Austin Butler was amazing as Elvis Presley, and I didn't really have a hatred of Colonel Tom Parker before the movie, but now I really, really do. All right, well, wow, short one this week, mercifully for the audience, so thank y'all for listening. Sammy and Joseph, thank y'all for doing the episode with me, and until next week, bye.
Surviving Chick Flicks is brought to you by the Circle of Jug. The show is edited by John, and all clips used are the property of their copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and leave us a 5-star rating at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get the show. If there's anything you would like us to cover on the show, or just drop us a line at survivingchickflicks@gmail.com. The show is copyright 2022, Circle of Jug Productions, all rights reserved.
Here we go.
Are we ready for our lesson? Okay, this is a comma, and this is a period. When you take a period and put
that donut hole away, or I'm going to shove it up your semicolon.